This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we continue in the third book of the Psalter with Psalm 78. Tell the coming generation, they forgot his work, the bread of heaven, the quail, and provoking the Holy One of Israel. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Our help is in the name of the Lord.
Who made heaven and earth.
If you, O Lord, kept a record of sins, O Lord, who could stand?
But with you there is forgiveness, therefore you are feared.
Since we are gathered to hear God's word, call upon him in prayer and praise, and receive the body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ in the fellowship of this altar. Let us first consider our unworthiness and confess before God and one another that we have sinned in thought, word, and deed, and that we cannot free ourselves from our sinful condition. Together as his people, let us take refuge in the infinite mercy of God our Heavenly Father, seeking his grace for the sake of Christ, and saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. Almighty God,
have mercy on us, forgive us our sins, and lead us to everlasting life. Amen.
Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray. O Lord, let your merciful ears be attentive to the prayers of your servants, and by your word and spirit teach us how to pray, that our petitions may be pleasing before you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen. Amen.
The first reading is from Genesis chapter 18. Then the Lord said, "Because the outcry against Sodom and Gomorrah is great, and their sin is very grave, I will go down to see whether they have done altogether according to the outcry that has come to me. And if not, I will know." So the men turned from there and went toward Sodom, but Abraham still stood before the Lord. Then Abraham drew near and said, "Will you indeed sweep away the righteous with the wicked? Suppose there are 50 righteous within the city. Will you then sweep away the place and not spare it for the 50 righteous who are in it? Far be it from you to do such a thing, to put the righteous to death with the wicked, so that the righteous fare as the wicked. Far be that from you. Shall not the judge of the earth do what is just?" And the Lord said, "If I find at Sodom 50 righteous in the city, I will spare the whole place for their sake." Abraham answered and said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord, I who am but dust and ashes. Suppose 5 of the 50 righteous are lacking. Will you destroy the whole city for lack of 5? And he said, "I will not destroy it if it I find 45 there." Again he spoke to him and said, "Suppose 40 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 40, I will not do it." Then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak. Suppose 30 are found there." He answered, "I will not do it if I find 30 there." He said, "Behold, I have undertaken to speak to the Lord. Suppose 20 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 20, I will not destroy it." Then he said, "Oh, let not the Lord be angry, and I will speak again but this once. Suppose 10 are found there." He answered, "For the sake of 10, I will not destroy it." And the Lord went his way when he had finished speaking to Abraham, and Abraham returned to his place. This is the word of the Lord.
Holy Gospel according to St. Luke, the 11th chapter. Now Jesus was praying in a certain place, and when he finished, one of his disciples said to him, "Lord, teach us to pray, as John taught his disciples." He said to them, "When you pray, say, 'Father, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come. Give us each day our daily bread, and forgive us our sins, as we ourselves forgive everyone who is indebted to us. And lead us not into temptation.' And he said to them, 'Which of you who has a friend will go to him at midnight and say to him, "Friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has arrived on a journey, and I have nothing to set before him." And he will answer from within, 'Do not bother me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot get up and give you anything.' I tell you, though he will not get up and give him anything because he is his friend, yet because of his impudence, he will rise and give him whatever he needs. I tell you, ask, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and the one who seeks finds, and the one who knocks, to him it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? Or if he asks for an egg, will give him a scorpion? If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? This is the gospel of the Lord.
Mercy and peace to you from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Please be seated. A little one's toddling tracks stop stiff. Not another step, not a single blink. Like a naive sparrow ascertaining enemy or benefit. 15 feet beyond, the big hand beckons, crouches on haunches, stretches out clutches. Lord, they addressed him. Lord, teach us to pray, they requested, all formal. You, the boss, us, the subordinates, you, the prince, and us, the peasants, 40 paces behind. You see, sinners suspect an aristocratic deity, contractually obligated to tolerate us, but otherwise aloof and absent, liable to extend nothing instead of necessities. It's probably our stiff-necked pride, our own innate defiance and dismissal, projecting what we would do with somebody like us if we were ever in his shoes. Audience with this God, the 12 did not obtain. Jesus, the Son of God, has little interest in discussing the how of it, but he will teach us to pray. He will co-opt our troublesome world. He will co-opt our frustrating body. And he will teach us praying, all right. The little one holds flinching fists to bitten lips, risks a timid toe forward like a nervous squirrel, weighing safe or assailant. 10 feet between, the big head nods, raises eyebrows, reveals a toothy smile. As with a disciple, they categorized it. As John, with his disciples, they proposed, all contractual. You, the superintendent, us, the attendees, you, the sergeant, and us, the recruits, 30 strides back. You see, mortals fear an abusive Almighty, hell-bent on retribution for his own entertainment, likely to administer stones instead of sustenance. It's probably our weak-kneed disloyalty, our own inherent sense of defeat, figuring what we deserve for our misdeeds. The attention of this God, the 12, did not engage. Jesus, only begotten Son, has little desire for detailing the what of it, but he will teach us to pray. He will conscript our mistaken understandings. He will conscript our sorrowful experiences, and he will teach us praying indeed. Little one bends ahead, curious, but braces just in case. This foot delicate, then that one deliberate. Like a humbled puppy, discerning comfort or punishment. 5 feet yet, the big figure tenses, winks, and whispers, "Good girl." A neighbor, the son of David countered. "How about one of your neighbors," he suggested, "perhaps transactional, him the revenue for our investment, him the profit on our deposit 20 intervals after." You see, human race desires a vending divinity, an on-demand dispenser machine theology. God obliged to distribute scorpion extract intoxicants instead of medicine. It's probably our broken-hearted grief, our own intrinsic guilt, settling for the quickest fix and the cheapest reasonable facsimile. The company of this God, the 12 did not encounter. Jesus' beloved Son takes his time with describing the why of it. He will teach us to pray. He will appropriate our losses and our messes. He will appropriate our conflicts and our concerns, and he will teach us to pray after all. So little one musters a rush of speed and strength and self-consciousness. Fun is coming, or fight, or fall, like a clumsy lamb drawn, dumb, driven, stubborn, and 2 feet left, the big arms open, fingers prime, winding up to snatch and grasp. "A friend," the Son of Man continued. "Which of your friends," he insisted, "more intimate? I, the arriving, you, the accompanied. I, the abiding, you, the intertwined, not 10 measures away. And our kind does demand upping the stakes. Always a gaudier reward and an extravagant religion, lottery ticket God, disposed to gratify our appetites with snake oil instead of an overflowing cup and a fatted calf and a festival supper. It's probably our iniquity-enslaved nature. It's probably our own trespass dead instincts, knowing nothing less than an outright miracle will do for ones like us." And even this God's presence, the 12 did not enter. Jesus, the incarnate Son, devotes himself to disclosing the who of praying. He will teach us to pray. He will enlist our menial tasks. He will employ our meager goods, and he will teach us to pray at last. This Savior invades, occupies, populates, resides. Bethlehem's baby inhabits, but not simply as Lord. Nazareth's boy embraces, but not merely as disciple. Galilee's rabbi entangles, but not only as neighbor, not even just as friend, but as fatherhood and sonship.
His standing in your place makes my Father your Father and our Father. Dear child, you need neither fear nor forfeit in the face of God. Neither demand nor indulge, defy, dismiss, distract, despair. Your Christ's incarnation has brokered a collision. His crucifixion, a fusion. His resurrection, a detonation. Innocence, holiness, righteousness, salvation already accomplished, and survival assured evermore. Your Messiah, Jesus, prays you into templing the Holy Spirit and inheriting the kingdom. He proclaims you into adoption by his Father. More than near, this Father is with and for. More than kind, this Father is good. More than ready, more than generous, this Father is proficient, selfless. Come, take the water that cools guilt's scorpion sting. Come, find the wine that soothes punishment's serpent bite. Come, have the bread that can crack death open even from the inside, and the flesh that fishes such as us out of the grave's shadowed chasm. You shall know milk and honey, and all the home and the life and the family that God's graceful forgiveness brings with. Now collapse, like little ones, into chaotic, ecstatic convulsions of hugs and snuggles and kisses and tickles and grins and giggles. This is the gospel of the Lord. Nestle yourself against the everlasting chest and cry. Cry out. Cry out and keep at it. Believe and belong. Rejoice and receive. Repent and obey. Heal, hope, inhabit. Leap and play and share and serve. Delightful praying that dies us to old self and rises us to new life. Magnificent prayer. Not a how, not a what, but a why. Because a who. Amen. May the Lord, who has himself begun this good work in you, carry it on to its completion in the day of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
In our prayers, we remember the Reverend Lee Hagen, president of the Missouri District, who has suffered a stroke. Let us pray for the whole Church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. We glorify you, most gracious Father, and give you thanks for all your kindness to us. As you have taught us to pray for all people in every need, so hear us now as we pray for your holy Church, that she may speak boldly the good news of salvation and glorify you in all her works. For those who guide and govern the nations of the earth, giving wisdom to both citizens and their leaders, and turning their hearts towards paths of peace. For the farmers of our land and all others who provide food for our table, that you would sustain them in times of trial, providing seasonable weather. For those who are ill, including your servant Lee, and for those who live with chronic disease, that in their times of trial they may know your power and your peace. For all who rejoice in times of joy, that as they give thanks for the blessings in their lives, they would not lose sight of you, the giver of every good and perfect gift. And for our young people, that they may be preserved from temptation and strengthened to do your will.
We praise you, most gracious Father, and glorify you through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. Through him be glory, honor, and power to you in the Holy Spirit, now and always and forever and ever.
Amen.
The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
Lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, O Lord, Holy Father, Almighty and Everlasting God, for the countless blessings you so freely bestow on us and all creation. Above all, we give thanks for your boundless love shown to us when you sent your only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, into our flesh and laid on him our sin, giving him into death that we might not die eternally. Because he is now risen from the dead and lives and reigns to all eternity, all who believe in him will overcome sin and death and will rise again to new life. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, King of all creation, for you have had mercy on us and given your only begotten Son that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have eternal life. In your righteous judgment, you condemned the sin of Adam and Eve, who ate the forbidden fruit, and you justly barred them and all their children from the tree of life. Yet, in your great mercy, you promised salvation by a second Adam, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, and made his cross a life-giving tree for all who trust in him. We give you thanks for the redemption you have prepared for us through Jesus Christ. Grant us your Holy Spirit, that we may faithfully eat and drink of the fruits of his cross and receive the blessings of forgiveness, life, and salvation that come to us in his body and blood. Hear us as we pray in his name, and as he has taught us.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Amen.
Oh, Jesus, I
The body and blood of our Lord Jesus Christ strengthen and preserve you in body and soul, even to life everlasting. Go forth in peace.
Amen. Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift. And we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another, through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us bless the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.
Amen.